Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roblin here again, Deputy Secretary of Game Fish and Parks. I just wanted to kick things off before I hand the microphone over to Zaniah Bethke. Really wanted to talk to you today about, you know, increasing or enhancing our efforts to recruit the next generation. And this was from Commissioner Jensen, and we'll definitely open up for other commissioners to chime in and be taking part in the discussion, but really a campaign to elevate this national effort, essentially, to recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters, anglers, campers, just to get people outside, but not just youth, outdoor families. And that's what I'm going to ask Naya here today to really discuss. How do we get outdoor families to participate in outdoor recreation? Not just hook and bullet recreation either, but beyond that, just getting kids and families outside recreating. Away from the Xbox, away from the telephones, picking up a fishing pole, those sorts of things. And we want to just really have a discussion to let you know what we are doing currently to try to accomplish those tasks. But we also want to hear from you as to what things or ideas or concepts are out there that we are not taking advantage of. And that's really critical at this time, this stage in the game. We are concerned what it's going to look like in the next 30 years. And we've had these discussions with all of you in the past, but we've really learned a few really neat things. We've learned some things that aren't as effective, and we're moving away from those things, but we are moving towards things that are more effective. And that's what I'm going to ask Tanaya to cover, and then we'll have a good discussion, a Q&A at the end. So Tanaya Bethke, thank you.
Tanaya Bethke, Division Staff Specialist over Education and R3 Coordinator for the state. So as Kevin mentioned, in the past we've had some kind of ineffective ways to engage the public that we've addressed with the education plan and with some R3 efforts over the last couple of years. And we've been moving in a new direction, and I want to share some of those rewards with you and some of the achievements that we've made. As a team across the state, we've been working towards moving away from some of the one-and-done activities that we engaged in over the last several decades. There are a lot of kind of feel good, come try this thing one time and go home and feel good activities that we were spending a lot of time and resources on. Didn't have a lot of opportunity to measure the impact of those activities. And so we spent a lot of time working with people about how do we follow up with them after they engage with our agency? How do we measure the impact that we're having on them, and how do we track them through their engagement with us? And so the education team and the rest of the state, as well as law enforcement and fisheries, have developed a data tracking system for our programs, and we've started noticing trends in our programming in order to help kind of make some adjustments to the way that we provide programming. So not only providing advanced level skills classes for those folks that have come and tried something with us, that's one approach that we're doing, advanced skills. Data tracking is another piece that we're doing. But one of the trends that we noticed for the last several decades is that we provided a lot of youth programming and did not necessarily require parental involvement. And we've realized that when you teach youth in isolation, that doesn't necessarily create a future sportsman, and that's an issue. In 2017, for example, we engaged with over 6,000 programs for folks ages 12 and under, and we didn't necessarily track those people, and we're not quite sure whether we had much of an impact and long-term impact on them, and we didn't require their parents to be involved in their programs. And so we may have gotten some really excited people that tried something that they're really passionate about, and they may have gone home, and that could have been the end of it. And so what we're hoping to do is to have a greater impact, provide family support for people when we're getting them to engage for the very first time, and make sure that the skills we're teaching people become a lifelong pursuit, not a one-and-done activity. And so that is really at the heart of R3, not only as a way of doing business, but making sure that we are providing support for people who will engage in outdoor recreation in a sustainable way. We don't want this to be something that people come back to every single year, and it's their one time a year that they do this one thing with our support. That's not what we're here to do. So I think this is a large discussion about kind of the approach that we want to take as an agency with our outreach and our education efforts. Over the last 2 years, we've been working on the education plan. The commission adopted our education plan that aligns with the national R3 plan in January 2018. And so we've been kind of heading in this direction and engaging law enforcement and fisheries staff, as well as education staff, in making sure that we're making these revisions to our programs and being much more intentional with how we reach out to the public and create sustainable sportsmen and women. And that it's not just teaching youth in isolation, but we're also engaging with whole families. We're engaging with adults who don't have children. We've never really targeted them before and provided programming for them. And that we're also engaging with multiple generations of people. So I think with that, that's kind of the bigger overall perspectives and conversation that we've been having over the last few years and some of the direction that we're heading in, making sure that we're being intentional, effective, and efficient. And some of the ways that we've started kind of moving in that direction are providing trainings for teachers to become Hunt Safe instructors so they can offer Hunt Safe through the school system. They get continuous support through their school system in that way. We've been more inclusive with our marketing so that people can see themselves in outdoor recreation. We didn't necessarily have a broad diversity of marketing imagery before. And creating new partnerships with groups that we've never reached out to in the past. So with change comes the need to adapt, and that's where we find ourselves now. With that, Kevin, if there's anything else you'd like to add, and I'd like to open it up for any discussion or questions that you may have.
Well,
crickets.
So I asked that we put this on the agenda so that we could challenge us all to, maybe think outside the box that the box comes in, because I know people have been looking at this, but the trends still aren't what we want them to be, right? And so I'm proposing that we put a group together and we put on our creative hats and get this campaign underway, something that the rest of the country can say, look what they did in South Dakota, look how they went about it, look what their results are. So we can involve kids, we can involve moms, we can have an all-out effort to recruit the next generation, which is the word on the agenda. So hope we can have some discussion. Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Question. My sense would be is that prior to the West Campus being opened, you almost have a point that you can measure activity levels and involvement prior and now after, with a great center like that where they have the lagoon where they can fish and canoe, and you've got the learning center. And have you noticed any impact that that facility and the programs you're able to offer now has had on what you're working towards? I mean, is the West Campus the future of what we're looking at as far as a programming center to get families involved?
Mr. Chair. So I would say both Outdoor Campus East and Outdoor Campus West have done an excellent job of driving programming that's inclusive of new populations. And I don't necessarily know that Outdoor Campus West is the baseline, but that overall as a department, we've made a concerted effort to be engaging with whole families and with new populations. So some of the classes that we've seen be successful in this line are some of our comprehensive hunting education courses. So things like Hunting 101, Harvest South Dakota, Hunting with Derek, that teach the start to finish of all of the hunting skills necessary to become independent in the field. And while those programs take time and energy and resources, and it is time consuming, it also creates some of the best ambassadors for hunting that I've ever seen. And we do the same thing for fishing. So I would say that yes, we've seen both of the campuses be driving forces in the development of new programming that is very effective, but we've seen it in both locations. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, just a little bit to add to that, Commissioner Sharp. You know, one of the things that we're always striving for is how do we track success of those programs? Do they actually purchase a hunting or fishing license? And we've been wrangling with this ever since the inception of those campuses and new programs, because that is something nationwide folks struggle with. If we have a new program, how effective is it at actually, you know, creating a new hunter or angler? So we've talked about, you know, giving unique IDs to these people that take a class, but that unique ID would have to be tied to our licensing system somehow. And there's some really great challenges, and Scott Simpson and I have talked about this quite a bit before he became the parks director, and some of those challenges that that there are within the tracking system of our licensing system. It seems simple on paper, but once you get down to the intricacies of it, it's not as simple as one might think. So that's something we're going to continue to pursue. So we have a more detailed answer to your question. Are our programs recruiting new hunters? Are they actually physically having folks going out and purchasing a license? We do know the Hunting 101 program and the Hunting with Derek program. Absolutely. I mean, because we're taking them hunting. So these are folks that never hunted before in a lot of cases. They are new users. They're new hunters, new anglers, those sorts of things. So we have a definite tie to return on investment there. But some of those, you know, youth programs, that's what Tania is referring to. Some of those programs, the one and done type programs, it's very hard to track success on those. But we plan to do that in the future. You know, one thing to continue the conversation and maybe spark some other thoughts or discussion or think outside the box ideas. You know, we did a habitat crowdsourcing. You know, we asked the question, what are your thoughts on habitat? Maybe this is something we could crowdsource our youth on, or our families, our outdoor families, and pose that question and see once what we get back for responses. I mean, this could be a neat opportunity to really think, is there something out there we're missing? And if there is, let's hear about it. Is there an initiative or a program that would definitely get outdoor families, you know, to the table participating? And is there a program out there that people are striving for that we don't offer? And that's something we're really interested in. So maybe that's some direction the commission would like to go. But there's a lot of things, you know, we potentially could do that we might not be doing currently, and we should be doing. So just a thought, I guess. And
Commissioner Olson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Olson, tell me what type of collaborative work we do with other entities that already have existing youth programs instead of us trying to do all the work ourselves. You know, you have REMF, you got Wild Turkeys, you got the Pro Pheasants, Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited. You know, when I was younger, my dad got us into Ducks Unlimited, and that was back when, you know, you got mail and it said your name on it, and they got like the youth thing showed up at your house. Well, my kids have all been involved with all those, and they could care less if they get anything in the mail right now. They don't even look for it. But if we had an app or something like that that was more in line with the times, that where they could, you know, feel connected that way, maybe that's some of the stuff we have to start looking at is, you know, ask kids what interests you instead of us trying to figure it out for them as well. But back to my original statement is, you know, what kind of work do we do with those other existing entities to do that, and what can we do to enhance that? I know that when we've had the trailer out to different events in Madison, it's kids just line up for that. They want to be able to shoot the BB guns and the bows and pet the furs and do all that stuff. But I just want to know what we're doing with existing entities.
Commissioner Olson, just a few shining examples of some of those partnerships that have been really helpful on that front include, right now, a project we're working on is with South Dakota Trappers Association and 4-H. They're going to be taking on trappers education, and we're working to develop a curriculum that will be rolled out within the 4-H structure to do a six-month program with their youth, with 50 youth for the first pilot program, to teach them comprehensive trapping skills. Another partnership we're working on is with the Boys and Girls Clubs of South Dakota Youth Hunting Adventures. It's another program where we provide funding for one of the positions that is a kind of a case manager for pairing adult and youth mentor and mentee pairs, I guess, to go out and do hunting and fishing activities together over the course of several years. We also partner with Scholastic Shooting Sports within the high schools. We just provided support for kind of their major competitions, and we're starting to get their coaches trained as hunt safe instructors. And there are other relationships with Boys and Girls Clubs that we have throughout our communities. So I agree with you that those partnerships are essential as we move forward to help extend the reach of our education and outreach efforts. And that's definitely a focus of our efforts over the last few years.
Comments or questions? Secretary Hepler.
This is an idea that I think you brought up, Mr. Chairman, is that as proposals come or petitions come in front of the commission for their consideration, is to articulate then how the outcome of those particular proposals or petitions, approval of those petitions on the proposal process would do the recruitment and retention. And I think it's a fair thing to discuss because, you know, obviously the whole discussion on the derelocation plan is around recruitment and retention. the work that, that Andy's working on with John Kotelnik going to the regulation review, I mean, that really in the end is simplification, and it's going to help, I think, our average person understand how to, you know, engage with us. The discussions we're having on the three splash rule that Tony and Rocco and others are working on, that's all wrapped around the same discussion. So I think that'd be a fruitful discussion also, Mr. Chairman. I know you're going to be down at the Western Association meeting with a number of staff here in a couple days, but when we have that day with the commissioners and when you have the opportunity to give the state report, it'd be interesting to say this is something we're thinking about and see if, you know, the commission's gone down that road, because I think it'd be good. Plus, what it does is, like, you know, there's a petition coming up talking about using optics on a muzzleloader, right? Then what would that mean? Does that mean more people are going to be engaged? Yes, no. And have those type of discussions. And so I think it'd be fruitful and maybe for the commission to think about that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other? Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. Commissioner Phillips here. I think all these are great ideas. I want to go back to when we were talking about the Outer Campus East and Outer Campus West, and those are great facilities. There's communities all across South Dakota that we'll never build a campus comparable probably anywhere else in the state, either one of those two. So we have to keep these little communities in mind that live 100 miles from either one of the campuses, and there's youth in there, and there's moms in there, and people that we need to reach out to. So that's why I think the app ideas, reaching them on social media is really good, because those folks need to be remembered. The campuses are great, but they can't reach everybody.
Thank you for your comment, Commissioner Phillips. Absolutely. And I think the role that our regional staff play all across the state is essential in making sure that we're reaching all of our communities. And the work that we do with the law enforcement staff and step outside activities, making sure that those are intentional and targeted as well, as well as the work that we do with fisheries, all will drive towards making sure that we include everyone in our approaches in the future.
Any other questions or comments? Why don't we do this? We'll put a work group together. We'll do our very best, and if there's anybody out there that wants to be involved in our effort, they should let us know, and we'll have at it. How's that?
I think Tanai would like to be involved.
Yeah. They will put you on the list.
Just to continue this conversation a little bit longer, would it be okay on those September proposals to include, after the supportive information, how this impacts the next generation? Any proposal that comes in front of the commission, are you ready to do that, or is this something you want to hold off on?
No, I think we should do that. And, you know, this is as important as some of the other things we routinely talk about on information items. Maybe we put an emphasis by putting it there, too. But I kind of like the idea of adding it to the action sheets. But okay. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
No, I think it's a great idea. I honestly think it stimulates conversation regarding that proposal. And we can definitely have staff anytime we submit a proposal to emphasize how this does impact the next generation. Not the here and now, but the 30 years from now. And the here and now. Yes.
Any other questions? I didn't hear what he said.
You need to be now, because we're old enough that we're about 30 years.
Oh, right, yeah. Focus on now. Any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you. We'll move on and we'll get to it.
Thank you. And I'll plan to put Recruiting the Next Generation on the next agenda as well for September, so we can make sure this conversation continues, if that's okay with the commissioners. Is that okay?
Please do.
Okay, will do. Thank you.